For what, over a century, the power of visual media, from the first photographs all the way to modern video, it's always rested on one simple, undeniable fact. The camera describes, but it never, ever explains. It tells you what is there, like an inventory of pixels, but never why it's happening or, and this is the key part, what happens next.
And that hard limit, that constraint is now just collapsing.
Right.
We are living through this massive category shift in how machines interact with images. We're moving way beyond just small improvements in, say, object recognition. We are building systems that don't just see, they actually reason.
So the era of visual reasoning is here.
It's here, and it fundamentally moves AI from simple perception to, well, complex cognition.
So our mission today for you, the learner, is to understand exactly what that means. We're going to break down this fundamental shift, what it is, how the technical leap was even achieved,
And why it matters.
and why it matters, why it changes the game for anyone creating, managing, or verifying visual content. We're doing a deep dive into the sources to really understand the architecture of an AI that can think.
And it's so important to frame this correctly. This isn't just another software update.
No.
This change unlocks applications that, honestly, we previously thought were impossible. If old computer vision was like an automated assistant that could catalog a library,
A very fast cataloger.
a very fast cataloger, yes. But visual reasoning is the new assistant that can actually read the books, understand the relationships between the characters, and maybe even predict the ending. It's the leap from cataloging the world to comprehending it.
Okay, let's unpack that. I want to use a really definitive test. If traditional computer vision could already draw perfect little boxes around everything, how exactly does this visual reasoning move the needle?
The difference is all about causality and context. The old systems, they had zero concept of physics or any kind of predictive modeling. They were just
Yeah.
highly accurate labelers.
And the sources give a fantastic analogy for this difference, which they call the five-year-old test. Let's set that scene.
It's a perfect scenario for testing true comprehension.
Yeah.
So imagine showing a five-year-old a static photograph,
Right. A single picture.
a single picture, and the scene is this. You have a half-full glass of water, and it is perched precariously right on the absolute edge of a tabletop.
Right on the edge.
And next to the table, standing up, is a very excited, bounding dog. Maybe it's shaking off water, or its tail is just wagging violently.
The traditional AI, say from 2024, would nail this. It would identify the dog, the glass, the water, the table. It gets all the labels right.
A plus on the labels. But if you ask a five-year-old what is about to happen, they don't just list the objects, they immediately reason out the answer.
No, the dog's going to knock it over.
Exactly. They reason. The dog is moving unpredictably, it will bump the table, that unstable object. The glass is going to meet kinetic energy, and the result is a messy spill. The child is processing spatial relationships, stability, physics, and animal behavior all at once.
It's connecting those variables. The dog is an unpredictable kinetic energy source, and the glass is unstable. That's the part the old AI completely missed.
Completely. Until these breakthroughs, the system had no concept of edge or risk or a consequence. It just saw three separate inert objects in a frame.
And that's the crux of visual reasoning.
That is the crux. It bridges that gap. It moves from recognizing objects to understanding the potential energy and the causal relationships in the scene. It's the difference between seeing a car and predicting a collision based on its trajectory and speed.
It's the leap from just listing contents to comprehending the entire narrative. What's happening, why, and what happens next.
Precisely.
That shift in utility. I mean, moving from asking, what is this, to does this whole scenario make sense and what's the probable outcome? That's immense. And it really did seem to mature almost overnight. What were the technical breakthroughs that allowed this to happen?
It wasn't one single update. It was more the simultaneous maturation of three core capabilities that kind of created the perfect storm for visual cognition.
Okay, let's start with the first pillar, the architecture itself. Multimodal foundation models.
Yes, this is, well, foundational. For the first time, these new models process images and text or visual data and linguistic data in the same cognitive
Which
space.
is different from before.
Very different. Previously, you'd have one system describing the image, another analyzing text, and they had to do this sort of awkward handshake to communicate.
So how does merging those two create reasoning?
Because language is inherently built on reasoning. Subjects, verbs, objects, relationships, causality, logical flow, it's all in there. By integrating visual data into that same cognitive space, the AI can now apply the powerful reasoning structures it learned from, you know, analyzing billions of pages of text and apply them directly to a visual scene.
So it's learning to read a scene like it reads a sentence?
That's a great way to put it. It's decomposing the scene into subjects and actions and then finding the verb that connects them.
So not just dog and glass.
No. It's dog subject is approaching verb unstable glass object. And that provides the logical foundation for inference. We saw this explosion of competence around April 2025 with models like OpenAI's O3 and O4 Mini, Google's Gemini 3, and Qwen 2.5 VL. They all shared they could analyze a picture using linguistic logic.
Okay, that sets the stage.
Yeah.
But the second capability is more about process, not architecture. Test time compute.
It's a strategic choice, and it's a huge one. Traditional computer vision always chased instantaneous speed. You know, the faster the bounding box, the better.
Right.
But complex reasoning isn't instantaneous. Test time compute is the decision to spend more computational resources to work through a visual problem step by step, building a verifiable chain of inference.
That sounds counterintuitive. They're intentionally slowing down the response time.
To increase the quality of the judgment, precisely. If you ask an older model to identify a camouflaged vehicle in a complex jumble scene, it might guess instantly and just fail. Mm. A visual reasoning model using this approach might take 5 seconds. And in those 5 seconds, it's generating internal steps. First, locate all known vehicles. Second, filter by foliage colors. Third, compare texture maps. It's prioritizing a reasoned, auditable judgment over an instant surface-level guess.
And that process is kind of mirrored by the third pillar, right? Visualization of thought, which sounds like the AI is literally sketching its way to an answer.
It is, literally. When a system faces a complex spatial problem, like a 3D geometry puzzle, it can actually generate its own intermediate visual aids like wireframes, simple sketches, or diagrams to help verify its own reasoning before it gives you the final answer.
Walk me through an example of that. How does that self-correction work?
Sure. Imagine you show the AI a detailed image of a new engine design and ask, will this assembly function without the central gear interfering with the intake valve? That's a complex spatial query. So instead of just saying yes or no, the AI first generates a simplified 2D cross-section diagram from the image. That's its visualization of thought. Then it calculates the clearances on that simplified internal drawing. If the calculation shows an interference risk, it flags it. Its confidence is high because it verified its own hypothesis visually.
It's generating visual data to check its own math. That is fascinating. And the sources confirm this is well past the academic stage.
Oh, it's in production. We are seeing major commercial investments. Startups like Alorian, founded by ex-DeepMind researchers, they raised $50 million specifically for this. And big players like Microsoft are targeting agents with models like Magma, which need to make these kinds of decisions in real time. This is a commercial reality now.
Which means the applications are immediately profound. Let's get into the practical implications, because this is where our listeners really need to understand the scale of this change.
We can start with maybe the biggest challenge of the modern digital age, content verification.
Right. The sources talk about a shift from detecting pixel-level manipulation to performing plausibility analysis. The old way was forensic. The new way is inferential.
Absolutely. The question changes from, was this technically altered, to the much more important question, does the story this image is telling logically hold up? For example, an image claims to show a massive hailstorm at a specific intersection in Dallas on August 15th.
An old deepfake detector looks at the pixels, says they're clean.
But a visual reasoning system cross-references the image against a huge database of external data. It checks historical weather for Dallas in August. It analyzes the architecture to make sure it matches the intersection. It checks temporal markers, like the shadows, to see if the sun angle is correct.
If it finds a contradiction.
If all the visual details are plausible, but the inference engine knows it has never snowed in Miami in August, for example, it flags the image, not as manipulated, but as inconsistent with reality.
That's a critical difference. Verifying the story, not just the pixels.
And it has immediate high-stakes applications in autonomous systems. They're moving far beyond just pre-programmed paths.
So give me a real-world scenario there.
Think about a high-volume warehouse. The robotics now have an inference engine. It's not just recognizing a box on a shelf. It's assessing that the box is stacked precariously. And it reasons that its own movement profile must be altered to prevent a collapse.
So it's reasoning about the chain of failure. And this must have massive implications for accessibility and safety, too.
Absolutely. Think about visual assistance for navigation. Instead of just describing what's there, there is a bicycle approaching. The system analyzes trajectory and velocity.
So it can predict.
It can predict. It provides critical advance warnings. A cyclist is approaching from your left and, based on their speed, will cross your path in 3 seconds. It reasons about motion and consequence. That's the margin of time needed for safety.
And if we connect this to the medical field, the utility in diagnostics seems obvious, especially in something like radiology.
That's where the audit trail becomes so valuable. These systems are moving into diagnostic support, and they don't just flag an anomaly, they provide the reasoning. An older system might just say an image is 95% likely to be malignant.
Which is helpful, but it's a black box.
Exactly. The new systems explain why. For example, this 2 millimeter density in the upper left quadrant displays irregular margins, which strongly suggests X over Y. The doctor gets the AI's step-by-step logic. They can audit the conclusion, question it, and they maintain final control.
It's a shift from opaque prediction to justified inference.
That's the perfect way to phrase it.
Okay, this is an incredibly powerful set of capabilities. The implications are huge. But we have to temper this excitement with the limitations. This tech isn't infallible, and the sources stress one critical dependency that acts as its Achilles heel: provenance.
This is maybe the single most important limitation to understand right now. These systems are only as reliable as the veracity of the content they're analyzing.
Elaborate on that. If the AI is so smart, why can't it just spot a fake?
Because it's reasoning about the physics of the scene it's shown, and it's assuming that scene is a real reflection of the world. If an AI analyzes a high-quality synthetic image, a total fiction believing it's real, it will draw perfectly logical real-world conclusions from fabricated evidence.
Wow.
It might cross-reference the fake image against real data, find no contradictions in the visual details, the shadows are right, the reflections are perfect, and then it will conclude that the fiction is plausible and authentic.
So the AI isn't deceived by the manipulation itself, but by the assumption that the source material represents reality in the first place.
Exactly. It's reasoning brilliantly about a lie, which makes the lie functionally potent. This is why the entire system hinges on robust content provenance infrastructure. C2PA metadata, secure watermarking, verified capture devices, a transparent edit history. These have to become required input data.
It has to know where the picture came from.
And if it's been changed. This also extends to how the models are trained. If you train a model on a data set where 30% of the images are synthetic, and those synthetic images have subtly flawed physics,
it learns the wrong rules about how the world works.
You got it. Its logic becomes fundamentally brittle. It will make flawed inferences in the real world based on incorrect rules it learned from fake examples.
And beyond provenance, there's still the technical investment. That test time compute requirement you mentioned earlier sounds expensive.
The computational costs are significant. That thinking longer approach demands exponentially more processing power. For real-time applications, like a swarm of drones needing instant judgments, this creates these acute cost-performance trade-offs that engineers are still wrestling with.
And what about bias? We know models can be biased in recognizing faces, but how does bias show up when the AI is reasoning?
It's a shift from, say, perception bias to reasoning bias. If a model's training data reflects certain cultural assumptions, its logic will be flawed. For instance, if its understanding of crowd behavior is based only on data from Western cities, it might apply that flawed logic when analyzing surveillance data from a completely different cultural context. The reasoning engine is sound, but its underlying assumptions are brittle.
And that leads to the big one, liability. When a system makes an inferential judgment, it suggests X over Y in a medical scan, and that judgment is wrong, who's accountable?
That remains the highest stakes legal and ethical question. This is no longer a simple failure to recognize an object. This is a failure of judgment. Is it the developer, the organization that deployed it, the human professional who relied on its output? We are racing to answer these questions right now.
So what does this all mean for the learner listening to this? I think the message is clear. The era of AI that just catalogs visual information is over. The focus is shifting dramatically to AI that reasons about context, draws inferences, and takes consequential action. If you are a professional involved in visual content in any way, creation, management, verification, licensing, this shift is something you have to track aggressively in 2026.
It's fundamentally changing what requires human expertise. But for you, the learner, here's a final thought to explore. If AI can now reason that a bridge is out and a secondary route will flood in 4 hours, does our primary value as human experts shift entirely to just auditing and challenging the AI's logic chain, asking why it made that conclusion?
Or is there something else?
Or are there nuanced types of human visual intuition, the kind honed over decades of experience, that this analytical reasoning can just never replicate? Either way, the most essential step you can take today is to start building verifiable content provenance safeguards into your own workflows. The system can only reason reliably if it can trust its inputs.